It's time for Insights with Zion Matthew, exclusively on In Season.
However, not with Zion, but our good friend Fidelio is joining us back. How are you doing?
Good morning to you, Sake. I'm doing well. Thank you, Sake. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on here today. It's going to be another phenomenal time today. So I'm looking forward to that today, Sake.
Oh, man. It is so awesome to have you back. If we were joined by Zion, I was going to tell him, Guti, you are well discipled. That is one of the things that I took from our last engagement. You are really, no pun intended, but on fire for God. Jumping into the topic for this morning, what inspired it? Talk us through that.
You know, Sake, the Bible speaks about John the Baptist as the one being a burning oven and a blazing torch. And I believe that God is looking to raise up those who will be burning for their generation, that will be carrying the fire of God wherever they go. And, you know, the fire of God was never designed or never meant to just be in one place, but God intended for the fire of God to be like a forest fire that goes and consumes everywhere it goes, and it cannot be contained. It must not be contained. So I believe that God is raising up burning people again, people that will burn for God again, that have the fire of God consuming everything about them. And those are the kind of people that God is raising up in this time.
Oh, come on. And if this resonates with someone that you've recently had a conversation with, please do share this broadcast far and wide. And jumping straight into it, Fidelio, have we reduced the fire of God to just a feeling or moment in service, you know, instead of just a lifestyle that we're meant to ignite and cultivate?
You know, Sake, in 1 Kings chapter number 18, when the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel, it didn't just consume the sacrifice, but it shattered idolatry. It restored a nation, and it called a generation back to the altar. You know, so many times we just settle for what happens in a service, or we just settle for what happens on a Sunday morning. But you need to understand that the fire of God is there to impact nations. It's there to impact generations. And so we need to understand that the fire of God isn't just an emotional hype. It is a divine confrontation. The fire of God is not just a mood or a moment. It is heaven's invasion into the ordinary, demanding that everything that is misaligned be consumed. That is what the fire of God is. It was never meant to stay in just a church. It was never meant to stay in a building. It was never meant to just stay with one group of people. But it was meant to walk through the streets. The fire of God was meant to sit in boardrooms. It was meant to enter governments, to stand in the gaps, and to come into families, to change everything around us, the fire of God. But listen, but when the fire of God is reduced to a feeling, we build golden calves of experiences rather than altars of transformation. Because you need to know that true fire sets men and women ablaze. Vision. Oh, it sets us ablaze, and it gives us a holy obsession, and with the ability to carry God's presence beyond the walls of the church. And listen to this, Sake. Yeah. God never sent the fire to our senses. He sent it to overthrow kingdoms, to raise the dead, and to mark a remnant with the scent of eternity. That's what it means to have the fire of God.
Yeah, sure. That is amazing. And listen, to ever who's watching this broadcast right about now, it is one of those where you have to sit down with a pen and a paper because you just cannot miss a thing. It's just amazing. And of course, this morning's topic is titled Baptizing the Fire, Becoming a Burning One, with Fidelio standing in or filling in for Zion this morning. Why do you think that, you know, many believers celebrate Pentecost, but never actually walk as burning ones?
Oh my goodness, Sake, such a phenomenal question, because you need to understand that in the book of Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says that the sound from heaven filled the upper room like a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire set upon each one of them. And they didn't just celebrate the outpouring, but they walked out of that upper room as burning men and women, turning cities upside down. You need to know that, Sakya, we don't just need all of the people that can just come and have an experience, but we need people that will have the ability to take that fire and take it everywhere we go.
Yeah.
That is what it means to carry the fire of God. And you need to understand that these people in the upper room, they didn't just celebrate the outpouring. They didn't just settle for the goosebumps, but they walked out of that room and they turned cities upside down.
Sure.
But in contrast, many today attend even Pentecost services, yet they remain unchanged. Mm. Yet the flame never leaves the sanctuary. Oh, but God is raising up a people that will spread the fire wherever they go. Oh, many might be content with visitation, but never contend for habitation. They enjoy the moment, but resist the lifestyle it demands. Oh, because religion has taught people to remember Pentecost as a history rather than live it as a prophecy.
Mm.
We don't just celebrate Pentecost as a history. We live it out as a prophecy. We are the burning ones. Listen, there is a fear to the cost of walking with the fire, because it costs you it will cost you to deal with rejection. It might cost you to be obedient to God.
Mm.
Or it might be that the Lord will cause you to be in consecration, to fast more than you feast. Oh, but those are the ones that God is raising up that will keep the fire burning. That will keep the fire burning. And some have mistaken emotional highs for Holy Spirit fire, Sakya. And, apart from the goosebumps, when the goosebumps fade, they believe that the fire has left, unaware that the real fire is forged in secret devotion, not in stage experiences. Oh, but God is raising up those people that will walk in Holy Spirit fire again.
Oh,
listen, Pentecost was never meant to be an annual memory or a memorial. It is heaven's decree that ordinary men and women become walking flames, burning through every nation, burning through every system, and burning through every excuse.
Oh, come on. This is so good. May we not settle for just a visitation, but for habitation, as you mentioned, to carry that fire of God. And speaking of the fire of God, Fidelio, can you describe what it looks like, what it does in someone's life practically and spiritually as well?
Wow, Sakya. Wow. Let's begin to look at it from Isaiah's perspective. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, an angel took a coal, a live coal of fire, and it touched his lips. And in one moment, fire unlocked his destiny. You know, one of the things that you will know that the fire of God has come into your life, or that you carry the fire of God, is that your destiny will be unlocked. Not only that, but the Bible says that he was purged, his lips was purged. And when the fire of God is in your life, God will keep on purging you. God will keep on making sure that the things that are not as beautiful, not as glorious, that God begins to deal with that with the fire of God, because all of us are human. All of us have our things that we still deal with, and the fire of God purges us along the journey. It purges all of our iniquities, all of our weaknesses and our shortcomings. That's why we need the fire of God. And not only that, but the fire of God launched him into that prophetic destiny. Now, spiritually, fire sears our lips, the lips of the called, branding them for truth and awakening an insatiable hunger for his glory. That's what the fire does. And it dismantles, listen, it dismantles every false identity and unveils who you were always meant to be. Where that you were called to be a voice and not just an echo.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you need to that the fire practically the fire births and brings a divine urgency in your spirit, man.
Come on.
Oh, when you won't be able to sleep when other people sleep, because there's something that's keeping you awake. And that's why, you know, all of us would know of a mama or a granny that would pray in odd hours of the morning. Why? Because they had the fire burning in them. Oh, they couldn't sleep when everybody else was sleeping. They couldn't feast because they were fasting. That's what it means to have the fire burning in you. Oh, and then you begin to move, you begin to speak, you begin to bow differently, you begin to pray differently, because the fire is burning. And then The fire also births a supernatural edge, a divine propulsion that makes you unexplainably effective. Mm. It makes you unexplainably impactful, that everything you do, the fire just brings that edge to you, that they don't know what's different about this one. Why is this one like that? Because you have the fire of God. Listen to this. When heaven's fire touches your life, you won't just live differently, but you'll burn through systems. You'll tear veils and you'll shake generations when the fire is burning.
Oh, come on. Sure, that is so powerful. When the fire is burning in your life, it sets you apart, man. This, of course, is Insights with Fidelia this morning, touching on being baptized in the fire and becoming a burning one, more so in this generation, hey, in this time. Sure.
Come on.
Now, how can someone who's listening this morning know that they are carrying the fire of God, even if their surroundings feels cold or indifferent to that which is burning inside of them?
You know, Sakya, I love God because God always places you in contradicting environments where you might be the burning ones, and God would place you in a place that feels like you are in the middle of an ice cube, or you would be the one that God awakens, and God would place you in the middle of a people that are asleep, and God would revive you, and he would place you in the middle of what feels like a graveyard. But you need to understand that Jeremiah tried to silence himself. He was worn down by rejection. He was mocked for his message. And then he cried out, and he says, God's word is shut up in my bones like a fire that is burning. And now you need to know that the fire makes you relentless in dead places. Your spirit grieves when others are content. And you are the lifeline in those dead places. And that fire makes you restless in those dead places. Oh, you don't realize that when you have the fire burning, you feel heaven's ache before others see the storm. You know that there's something coming. Everybody is okay, but there's just something about you, and while everybody is laughing, you are crying. While everybody is going on with life as normal, you feel that there's an urgency, you know. And that is what it means to have the fire of God. You feel heaven's ache before others see the storm.
Come on.
You know, fire carriers, okay, they feel like exiles among the passive.
Yeah.
Because this is how God has separated a people unto him. And for God hides his fire even in caves before he reveals it in cities. God hides his fire in the caves before he reveals it in the cities.
Come on.
And that inner combustion, listen, that inner combustion doesn't let you settle. It doesn't allow you to settle. Yes, you might feel like you are the one that is the only one alive amongst the one, like you feel you're like somebody that's placed in the middle of a graveyard because the fire is burning in you. But that fire will not allow you to settle. It will never allow you to be complacent.
No.
Or you could walk away from titles, but you would never be able to walk away from your assignment.
Ooh.
Because that is what it means. That is what it means to carry the fire of God. Listen to this. You'll know that you carry the fire when silence torments you and compromise repulses you, and your bones feel like they're hosting lightning because something is burning inside of you. Something is burning deep inside.
Come on. It is 11:35. We are in the last hour of the show. And of course, this is an Insights with Fidelio this morning, touching on a very important topic in our age, in our generation. More so as we see a generation that is running cold, you know, a generation that is settling, a generation that is saying, if they're not doing it, I'm also not going to tap into it. But what are some of the things, speaking about it just now, Fidelia, what are some of the things that are like, you know, fire extinguishers or quenches the fire that was once ignited in our lives? Talk us through that.
Wow, Sakya, that's such a beautiful question, because many times many people start off with the fire of God. They start off as the burning ones, the ones that God has set apart. And many times we don't realize that the fire can either be, you can either keep the fire burning or the fire can be quenched. The fire can be dulled down. And that's very, very important question right there, Sakya, because we need to know what can cause our fires to dull down so that we can keep the fire burning, so that we can war against against what is warring against our fire. And you need to know that complacency, number one, complacency is a silent assassin of fire. It doesn't attack with noise. It just seduces with ease. That is what complacency does. When you just become too relaxed, and now you're not praying anymore. Now you're reading the Bible a little bit less, and now you're not coming to all of the meetings and all of the services, and now you just become a little bit more complacent, and don't have that urgency anymore. That complacency is a silent assassin of fire. Sure. Number two, disobedience burns altars to self while claiming to follow God, causing the fire to withdraw. When we burn out, when we're disobedient, we don't realize that fire, the fire begins to die down. The fire begins to dim out when we are disobedient to what God has called us to be, disobedient to what God is calling us to walk in this time.
Yeah.
And number three, prolonged disappointment. And you don't realize the effect of disappointment and I know every one of us have walked through disappointment in some area of our lives.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, doesn't matter in what area of ministry you might be or what walks of life you might be. Every single one of us have walked through disappointment. And sometimes if you don't learn how to deal with disappointment, that prolonged disappointment, it can smother the flame unless it is surrendered, unless that pain is released. You don't realize that can become the poison that quenches your purpose. That can become the poison that quenches your purpose. Number four is through mixture. When we attempt to carry the holy fire while entertaining unholy alliances, this is what splits the flame until it dies down. And then listen to this. The fire doesn't die. It never dies suddenly. It is choked by comfort, diluted by mixture, and abandoned by those who once danced in its light. So don't allow the fire to die down.
Yeah, tell you what, I'm definitely going to rewatch this as soon as I get home. And, you know, before I let you go with regards to time, how does becoming a burning one in our generation impact one's purpose, our relationships, and also our influence in the world?
Wow. Moses came down from the mountain and he was glowing with the residue of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a marked man. He was marked. And people didn't even look at him without a veil because of the fire that was on his life. And one encounter with the fire changed how he led. It changed how he spoke. It changed how he walked. It changed everything about Moses when he encountered the fire. You need to know that purpose becomes non-negotiable when the fire hits you. Purpose becomes non-negotiable. Fire makes excuses evaporate and causes the call to become like thunder in your spirit. That's what the fire of God does. Number two, the fire of God, you need to know that relationships either align or they can cause the fire to be dumbed down.
Yeah.
But fire reveals who is meant to run with you and who is meant to separate from afar.
Come on.
The fire comes to bring that separation. Listen, when Apostle Paul, he was going through a shipwreck and they came on this island. And the Bible says that he gathered a few sticks sake and he made this fire. And as he made the fire, the serpent jumped out. And you don't realize that when the fire of God is on your life, there are some serpents that's going to jump out of the fire. There's going to be some serpents, some people that have hidden motives that the fire will reveal who they truly are. The fire will always reveal the serpent. Fire will reveal. Number three, influence intensifies because fire attracts. Listen, you don't realize that you never have to advertise a house on fire. Everybody just comes and beholds the burning. Everybody just comes to behold the burning. And once you have the fire of God, people will be attracted to you. All the right people will be attracted to you. You don't need to advertise yourself. You don't need to blow yourself up. You don't need to look for the attention because the fire will bring the influence that is necessary and that comes with the burning. You don't realize the impact of the fire that you carry. And number four, you become dangerous to darkness when you carry the fire. Your words carry weight. Your presence shifts rooms. and your prayers break regions open. That is what it means to be the burning one of the Lord. Listen to this, Sake. The burning ones, they don't always fit in. They set atmospheres ablaze. They call dry bones to life.
Hey.
And they carry the future in their flame. Would you be the burning ones in Jesus' mighty name?
Come on, and a resounding amen to that. Oh, love this topic for this morning. Baptized in fire and becoming a burning one and cultivating that fire within. Oh, I wish we could continue, Fidelio. I really wish we could continue.
Come on.
But because of time, talk to us. What is happening at Awake the Nations this weekend?
Come on, Sake. We are all celebrating Pentecost this weekend, and this coming Sunday, we are going to be having our Pentecost Sunday morning meeting at 11 a.m. in 31 Kimberley Street in Goodwood. This is the place where the glory of the Lord is going to unfold. I'm telling you, we invite every single one of you watching on Facebook, watching on YouTube, listening all around Cape Town. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday, 11 a.m. for our Pentecost Sunday morning meeting. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be powerful. And we invite you to come and experience a move of God that you have never seen before. It's going to be glorious. Our theme for this Sunday is When Heaven Invades Earth. It's going to be too powerful. Sake, thank you so much. It has been awesome to be with you again this week. And we're looking forward to the rest of In Season. This is, by the way, Sake, this is one of my favorite segments of radio. I must tell you that, Sake. So thank you so much.
Oh, man, thank you. And I hope that we get to see each other soon. Thank you so much. You are an incredible blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sake. Thank you.
Right.
So much.
And for those who missed it, it is easy. You can find it on our Facebook and also on our YouTube page. A powerful one for this morning. You have to share this far and wide.